Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, 7 minutes long.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am, as always, your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and with me back again from her vacation, her Thanksgiving excursion, is...
My mini vacation.
Mini vacation, huh?
Never long enough at the beach, but yeah, just a mini vacation, but I'll take it. It was awesome.
Well, let's get into that. How was that?
It was really, really great. I'm honestly, like, I usually like the homebody when it comes to holiday travel because, well, no one wants to sit in traffic and it brings out the worst in everybody and makes everybody cranky. But we left Wednesday night, got to Ocean City, Jersey around 10:30, and then got up the next morning and I saw family and my cousin I haven't seen forever, and I was one of a handful of people on the beach, 52 degrees, and completely content. So I couldn't have been happier.
Completely content.
Totally complete. It was gorgeous out. There were so many surfers in the water, which for that area is very tough. It can get a lot of shore break, which is, if you don't know what you're doing, you could really hurt yourself, or it's flat. But this was absolutely gorgeous. So I couldn't have been happier. I was so grateful. I was on the beach the 3 days that we were there. My family thought I was nuts. But that's it. It was, why, how can you not love being next to the water? So yes, this little mermaid was happy.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. When you said,
and how was yours?
Well, not a whole lot happening. Just, you know, the traditional family dinner. The immediate family, and you know, there was somebody, I won't say who, but who seems to want to try to give everybody a bad time every Thanksgiving, and this person was up to their old tricks again, and yeah, but. Fortunately, they waited till just about everybody else had left to pull that. But yeah, it's to be expected. You know, little bit of cotton in the ears. You know, little hard rock blasting. You know, on the iPod and
there you go. It wouldn't be a family holiday if there wasn't drama.
No, it would not. And not without,
I mean, really,
anything like that. And if anybody's curious, we're in our new digs again here in Glen Burnie. My beleaguered wife, Mrs. Blue Liner, is about 3 feet away, convalescing from a really bad cold, and is kind of casting dirty looks at me every now and again. So if you hear a cough every now and then, that'll be why.
You cough away. It's fine.
No big deal.
It's all good.
Anyway.
You know what?
What's
I'm
going
sorry.
On?
I totally didn't. I forgot to tell you that we wound up playing. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I could not stop laughing. We wound up playing that game where you put those mouth things. There's like mouth guards in your mouth. Have you seen this? And it keeps your lips, like you can't put your lips together. And then you have to say things to your partner and they have to guess what you're saying.
I gotta try. The last time I wore a mouth guard was when I was in college and I was on my intramural floor hockey team. This is the last time I had a mouth guard. It's one of those things where you dipped it in boiling water and then you let it cool for a second, then you stuck it
and
in your mouth
it
so
in.
It would mold.
Yeah, it was all gross. I know. I have one of those for soccer. No, this is, it's more like when you're at the dentist and they're say, you know, doing like you look like a horror movie. It's so, everyone looks so ridiculous. But there was like, I don't know, God, like 10 of us playing. And I was nominated, I guess, probably because I had had a couple of cocktails, 'tis the season. And you wind up saying these things that are really ridiculous, you know, but things that are hard to say. So it was like, you know, the mattress fell off the truck. So you can only imagine how that comes out. And yes, I was nominated as the most entertaining of my family members because I guess I could say everything very matter-of-factly, even though it was total BS. But I highly recommend the game. It's awesome. It's a good time. It's very fun.
I thought we were kind of sort of playing something like that before when you said you were completely content. I thought you were about to say completely something else since you were on a beach. But I'll leave that to everybody else's imagination.
Jeez. We'll discuss that later.
Yeah, we will, I'm sure. And I'll get a talking to later, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And then now that Mrs. Blue Liner's there, she's gonna back me up. But
Yeah,
anyways,
I'm
moving
sure she
on
will.
to our kick-ass boys.
Let's okay, so let's drop the puck and get into the hockey. We didn't I kind of glossed over the events of the of 2 weeks before on the Western road trip in the last mini show that I broadcast. By the way, hope you all enjoyed that. It was for the folks that couldn't catch the Sports on the Hill podcast when it went live or and didn't get a chance to get to the recording. So Robbie and Carol were nice enough to let me post my segment. So I hope everybody who listened enjoyed that.
It was good. It was really good.
And understand you and Carol have had a bit of a dialogue. I saw that in Facebook.
We have
Sharing
yeah, just
a favorite player, I see.
we have a favorite player, but we, you know, he they're I'm just not a big basketball fan, but I you know, can hold my own in football and baseball and whatnot. So I like talking to him. He's great. And now that I've seen, he's on Instagram too, and his posts are hilarious.
Yep,
So we have a
CP3.
very
He is one entertaining dude, and he loves him some NFL action. So
Yeah,
yeah, and
yeah.
he's yeah, and he you check him out. In fact, they're broadcasting tonight in a few hours. By the way, it's Monday the 27th, November the 27th, as we're recording this. oh, I forgot my greeting. Hello, fans out there in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state of Maryland, and the District of Columbia, of course. And other Caps fans all around the world. Glad you're listening. Hope those of you, our American listeners, had a good Thanksgiving. So now with that out of the way, let's finally get into some Caps hockey. So let's see. As I was saying, I was going over some of the stuff that happened 2 weeks ago on the Western, the quick little Western road trip. So when we last left you, they were playing the schedule was Nashville and Colorado, and both games were absolute stinkers of an effort.
Yeah, I agree.
Now the one thing I saw that really discouraged me. So I went through the recap. I didn't get a chance to see the whole game, but I went through the recap. Now, Colorado jumped out in their game. They jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and then I reviewed the game and I watched the third goal, the replay of the third goal scored by Colin Wilson, and that was the one that when I saw it, I was like, "What is this team doing?"
Yeah.
And so I'm playing it
they did
now.
not look good.
Yeah, I'm playing it now on the replaying it now on the NHL app. And poor Grubby got hung out to dry again. This was another game he got hung out to dry. So I'm watching the replay now. And so, okay, so it's the live action. Okay, so he picks up the puck, Wilson does, not our Wilson, but basically beats three guys by bouncing it off the half boards, passing it, and then getting it back. And the three guys he beat, unfortunately, our Wilson, our Tom Wilson, one of them, Nathan Walker, and Dmitry Orlov were all on the ice for that goal. And they all three of them let themselves get beat. And the more I watched it, the more disgusted I got. And the more I started to think, okay, well, maybe there's a reason Nathan Walker is not getting into as many games as he ought to be, or as we thought we ought to be, thought he ought to be. So, but I, you know, it's just that was just one example out of many where they just looked defeated. They didn't show any effort, and I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I'll agree. I mean, I think I even sent you a text message during either during the game with an endless amount of F-bombs, I'm
Oh, I'm
sure.
sure. I'm sure you did. Now, I'm pretty.
And
I recall that.
the terrible thing was, as I'm watching this game, I'm thinking to myself, are you freaking kidding me? Like the Preds, that's all of a sudden the team to watch now. They looked amazing, and our team looked like
Well,
so
they're for real. The
it I
Predators are
mean it
for real.
was
There's no doubt
yeah
about that.
it was like just watching them, it was like well, okay, there's a team that could go all the way, because I don't know where Washington was that night. But I think I don't. It was awful. I felt bad for Grubauer. I'm not sure what to say about Nathan Walker. I felt like I was singing his praises in the beginning, and then it's teetered. I don't ever throw anybody under the bus. But he's got, yeah. He's what I want to see him do is what I've seen Vrana do recently, which is, kind of come out to play, not quite sure, not quite ready NHL hockey wise. And then his confidence level went up. He started scoring, and his goals recently have been amazing to watch, and his speed is sick. So I feel like he's one that I'm like, okay, he's consistent. Walker, I don't know if we, couple more games and then what? I don't know what to say about him, but I'd like to praise him more, but I just can't. And after watching that, what you're talking about, it was just another WTF moment.
No, Walker doesn't even have to score to be effective. He just has to
Correct.
keep his end clean, be responsible in his own end, just go hard on the forecheck. I don't care if he doesn't score every game, doesn't show up on the score sheet. I don't even care if he doesn't get into a fight or anything like that. I just want him to be a little bit, I don't know. He looked lost every time
He did.
he was out there. And
Well, that's what I'm saying is like he's you are and we've talked about this, and that nasty coach side of me comes out, and it's like, listen, you are one in a couple 10,000 that have made the NHL. Now's not the time to doubt yourself and your skills. We obviously picked you for a plethora of reasons. Now do it. Now's not the time to shy away from something. And I agree with you. I don't need to see him in a fight. He's not a big guy. He's not gonna do much. If anything, it's gonna be kind of cringeworthy probably to watch. But I want to see him for the reasons that we got him. He's got the skills. He's got the speed. I just want his confidence to stay up, because I just keep seeing healthy scratch, healthy scratch. It's like, but if you've got someone else who's playing in his position that is showing it, there you go. There's nothing you can do then. So step up.
I mean, everybody that's filled in, Alex Chiasson, Tyler Graevac is coming back. Chandler Stephenson, they've all
done awesome.
Done their part to earn their time on the ice. So, you know, I loved him in the first few games he's played, but he's got to start showing me something, because I don't know. I love the guy. I want to see him succeed, but seeing what I saw in that Colorado game, I mean, yeah, it's, and I've said this before, it's kind of unfair that, you know, one or two mistakes and you're back on the bench again. But that, I mean, hopefully he takes it all to heart and learns from that.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. So
but that was, yeah, right. That was arguably, the lowest point, I would say, in the last, couple of weeks here. Barring the loss to Calgary, which was 1 week ago at this time, that was another frustrating effort. I don't know, with all the talent this team has and the offense completely dried up, and you thought maybe they bounced back with that win against Minnesota two nights before, and again the offense dried up, and you wonder what happened. And so that was their third loss in four games, and that's when – so we're going to segue a bit topics while covering both at the same time, because we still got three games to sort of kind of recap here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's – about then is when the calls for Coach Barry Trotz's head started to get a little bit louder in Caps fandom, because the losses were piling up. The decisions, the lineup decisions he was making with a lot of fans was going down about as smooth as gas station sushi to some. And just, yeah, you imagine the disturbance, the gastric disturbance that'll cause times a thousand. And that's what you got.
So are you speaking from personal experience?
I may not be.
Okay, just checking.
But yeah, RMNB in particular was particularly loud about what was going on and what ought to be happening. So as an example, and that's something we're going to discuss in a little bit here. But then things started to turn around after the loss to Calgary. They had two more games at home here. One of them was against the Ottawa Senators last Wednesday, and that's when your little buddy, who you just mentioned a little while ago, Jacob Vrana, started to come out. He opened the scoring in that game with his fifth of the year, Kuznetsov and Oshie on the assists.
Yep.
And then the captain scored to make it 2-0. Kuznetsov got the third goal, which would eventually be the game winner. And Vrana comes back with the pizza goal.
Yep.
And overall, a pretty good game all around for everybody. Only gave up 31 shots. Caps managed 25 shots. Power play, they only got one chance, but they converted. PK was superb. Shut down all three chances. Not as much, not as much as we're used to, still managed 8 minutes in penalties, and so we're that's another bone of contention with the team, and we'll kind of talk a little bit more about that later as well. And then probably the best game they played all year, barring the Pittsburgh game. They come back Friday night, beat the number one team in the league, and that's the Lightning.
Uh-huh.
They gave up the early goal, and they could have let down, but it was pretty good that they came back. The captain comes back with the tying goal, and then Devontae Smith-Pelly comes in past the halfway mark of the second, and gets his third. And then Jay Beagle ices it with the empty netter. And so looking at the stats there, much better output, 38 shots total. 69% face-off win percentage.
Good.
Power play didn't do so well, 0 for 3. 2 out of 3 on the penalty kill. Only 6 minutes in penalties. They out-hit the Lightning, which is a good sign. Shot blocks were 25 total. That's a sign of a hard-working team there. What wonderfully enough, Grubby got his first win as a result of the year, and that was of course great to see.
That his parents were visiting, and his birthday was the next day. And I've said this before. Once he gets a win under his belt, I think he's just going to come out shining. I really, really think that. And it's the same thing. Jacob Vrana couldn't be happier for him. He's young and, you know, he just needed to come out and, you know, show everybody what he's got. And he's done it consecutively and consistently. And I think he's good at him and Tommy. I don't know. Kind of the teacher's pets, teacher favorites.
Well, with good reason. Both of them have been playing exceptionally well lately. So, one creates havoc in front of the net, and the other goes to the net and makes things happen.
Right.
On that end as well, on the score sheet too. So that I can see why. So that's fine. That they're doing a fine effort there. Now, of course, the most recent game was this past Saturday against the Leafs at the Air Canada Centre. Not going to talk about that right off just yet, and there's a reason for that. We'll get to that towards the end of the show. So that's the week and a half or so that was. So we're looking at the last 7 games total. They're riding a 3-game win streak now, but it didn't look so good as they were entering the week on a 1-3 slide, kind of. But they were 1-3 up until last Wednesday. But I mean, I'm guardedly optimistic because every time I think they righted the ship, they kind of slipped back a little bit. So the thing of it is, it's lack of desire, lack of heart, just complete and total not the right attitude towards some of these games, I think. And a lot of it was being put on the coach. And so we're finally going to segue into our main topic for this episode. And that's something I mentioned earlier, was the calls for Coach Trotz being fired.
Which I don't agree with.
Well, you didn't agree with it, but you would have been in the minority, at least as of last week. Now, I started this dialogue with you with a text earlier in the week, and I'm going to tell you what started that. And that was, so last Tuesday, I'm looking over, it's my one day off, so I actually have time to sit down and not have people ask me to do things all day long. So I had time to sit down and look over some recent tweets. And one of the people I follow that's got their finger on the pulse of the team is the Washington Post Caps beat writer, Isabel Kershudian. And she put out a tweet that said, well, look, I asked Coach Barry Trotz why Ovechkin and Backstrom had not been on the same line. And had he thought about putting them back together? And he said yes. And then I asked him, why not put them back together now? And his answer was, just don't feel like it. And so I read that and I was like, oh my goodness, there is somebody who doesn't care about doing his job anymore. There's somebody who knows his job's on the line and he knows he's going to get fired any day. And he's just thrown in the towel. That's what I thought. I'll admit, that's what I thought when I read that.
Okay.
That's when I texted you, saying, okay, look out for this team's changes are going to come.
Right.
And because, I mean, now I know why, but because you weren't thinking he wasn't deserving of that, That's not the first thing that came to your mind. You thought maybe, oh God, who's being traded? Who are we getting rid of now?
Right. And I thought Grubauer.
Yeah, yeah. And that may still happen, by the way.
Right.
But
right.
No, that's what I was getting at was okay, this team may have finally quit on him, and he's quit on himself. He's quit on the team.
See, I don't know. I see it completely different, so I don't agree with you.
Well, I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to set up your comment here, because on top of all that, what was his pregame press conference before he reunited Ovechkin and Backstrom was before the Ottawa game, and you saw what happened there. And I listened to that, and I was like, okay, well, this convinces me. He's just, I don't know, he's just not into his job anymore. And then you see the results and then the spark from the team. They look like a brand new team.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so I said, all right, well, let's see how they do next game. And they came out and played very well there also. And that's when I tweeted you and I said, well, it looked like this isn't what I actually said, but it looked like, you know, Trotz was saying one thing and doing another. And so it looks like we got played as far as that goes. And you said something.
I have
along
no
the
idea.
Well, you said something along the lines of, yeah, we all totally got played.
Oh yeah. Well, here's the thing. You're a coach of an NHL team. You're a coach of any major franchise team, and you have media or fans that think they know more than you do. And so you're getting out there, you're being interviewed on, well, how come your team's not doing better? How come they're not scoring? How come you're not doing this? And at some point you kind of do have to get tired of hearing it, but you go through the motions, you answer the questions. So for Isabel or whatever her name is to say, you know, so why aren't you doing this? Because I don't feel like it. I don't think it has anything to do with him giving up on the team. I think he's probably like, listen, why do I care what you think? I'm getting this question a lot. I know my team better than you do. So, you know, enough's enough. Like, and then also, why would he say, oh my God, you know what? You're right. Come to my office and tell me how I'm going to change up the line, because I'm going to listen to your opinion. He probably already had it in his head. He's not going to come out and say, oh, hey, secret weapon, guess what? We're putting these two back on, you know, top line together. He's not going to do it. He's just, you know, whatever. So what I can't stand is in any team when all of a sudden they're not doing well, it's always, it's the coaches that are on the chopping block. Well, you know, the team needs to get a little ass kicking too. And they need to step up and do what they're supposed to do. And you can't always say it's the coach that's letting the team down. Yes, the coach is to be motivating. And yes, they're supposed to be hard and whatever else, which I think Barry Trotz has been. He's not a rookie coach. So I call
Backstrom
on the fact that people are just wanting to toss in. Who are you going to put in there? That's my other thing. If you're going to say something like, hey, you know what? So-and-so is better or whatever. Okay, you know what? Yeah, maybe that person is a little bit more animated or more passionate, but there isn't anybody that I'm seeing, and I don't want to see some stranger come in, because I do think Trotz believes in the Caps, and I think he's, you know, whether you caught him on an off day or not, you think he doesn't know, you know, the team's losing and reading about it in the papers. So I don't know. I'm behind him 100%. I think he knows what he's doing, and I don't think he had to listen to anybody in the, you know, social media or, you know, the fans' opinion to say, oh, you know what, you're right. Like 8,000 people retweeting that I should change the line. Maybe I should listen to him. He knows what he's doing.
Okay, so this is why I kind of wanted to get into this with you, because I know you coach youth swimming, and but the mentality, you said, why, you know, why is it always the coach that's being blamed? Because I understand why management feels like they have to make that decision, because it's always, as they say, it's always easier to fire one person than it is to fire 25. So that's why.
Correct.
That's why they, you know, that, you know, it's not so much blame the coach. It's do something with the team to, you know, get things going again. So that's why that mentality. But I wanted to bring this up with you, especially because I, as I said, I know you coach youth swimming. So, from that perspective, what do you think might have been what went wrong? The team just looked bad. It wasn't just that they were losing. They looked really bad doing it. So from your perspective, your experience, you see your charges not doing what they're supposed to do, even though you drilled them over and over again. I mean, what do you think? What do you attribute that to?
But I honestly think it, and I hate to say it, I think a lot of it has to do with the media. When the Caps are winning, everyone's a Caps fan, and we couldn't be happier, and it's everything's amazing. And as soon as we lose a game, it's like, Ovechkin's too old. We should get rid of so-and-so. Why'd we sign this person for so long? Why'd we do, you know, Grubauer this and whatever else? For the length of the season, no one is going to go, you know, winning every single game. It's not possible. You're going to lose games. What you have to do as a coach is to realize that when the players, the athletes or whatever, are feeling defeated, unfortunately, it is contagious. You know, you are feeling like, your captain's feeling like
fake, fake, skate, fake, fake, fake.
And then the rest of them are kind of picking up on that. But from a coach's perspective, you also have to know that being positive is just as contagious. So he needed to maybe just step back and say, you know, listen, you guys have it in you. You need to, you know, not listen to the media, not listen to this stuff, because you have it. Look at your skill level, look at your, chemistry, the consistency, the this and that we've gone over and over again. And they just needed reminders. Whatever Trott said to them for the last couple of games worked. Is it going to continue to, you know, for them to be undefeated the rest of the season? Absolutely not. But I still feel like he's standing by his team. I don't think he's giving up on them. What he says behind closed doors, he obviously did rip into them. Because this, you know, sometimes you do have to get in there and say, you know, hey, listen, here's what I expect from you, and here's what I'm getting from you. Now step it up, you know, or you're going to be sitting out as a healthy scratch. And I guess I've always thought of the most frustrating thing about sports when you have players, football, basketball, baseball, whatever, who don't look like they're giving it 100%, rather than putting the coach on the chopping block and blaming him, who's not even part of the game on ice or on the field or whatever else, do you start taking away some of the players' salaries? You know, if they had to get paid on an effort per game, and you wanted it to be consistent, you would see your players out there across the board giving 100%. Because if they're not, they're not going to get paid. Some of these players could be like, hey, listen, I'm getting, you know, $16 million, whether I tackle or score or not. So, and those are the players and the athletes I don't admire. But I'm saying, if you're going to shake things up a little bit, why not shake it up financially against the players and leave the coaches out of it?
Well, that's kind of funny that you say that, because that suggestion reminds me of the old Baltimore Colts team that I read about. I'm a big sports history buff, in case nobody, especially hockey, but also other sports as well, but in case nobody's figured that out yet, if you know me. But the old Baltimore Colts, the great teams in the 50s and 60s, they were owned by a guy named Carol Rosenbloom, who was, of course, a big fan of the team, and he watched games intently. And what he liked to do was give $5 fines for stupid mistakes on the field, but he would fine himself along with the team, and it would go into a pot to benefit the players at the end of the year. But that's what that kind of reminded me of. Now, of course, you probably couldn't get away with anything like that nowadays. But that,
of course, that, you can't, because they all have agents and they all have these, you know, ridiculous contracts. It's like, you know, you can't say this and this and do this, whatever. I'm just saying that if you watch a Super Bowl, okay, and you know that there is a bonus in scoring a touchdown, you know, fumbles, punt return, whatever it is, there's a bonus for these players. And all of a sudden you're going to see like the guy who's just been, you know, he's been good during the season, but holy crap, there's this incentive. So I don't think I'm not saying that, you know, that finances and monetary is the incentive for necessarily the Caps players. But what I'm saying is I can't stand when the coaches are the first to go, when the players have to take blame, but there's really no consequence for them. They're getting paid regardless. So what do you, you know, if you did say, hey, listen, you know, I'm knocking such and such off if I don't think your effort's there, you know, and donate it to a charity or something or do something to it. But it's like, you know, hold them accountable. And I feel like the Caps team is done hearing about not having a cup. I think they're done hearing about it from the media. I think they're done hearing about the Washington, D.C. Sports curse. And they want to do what they can. But unfortunately, you know, we do really well and everyone's on board and we, you know, play really
well. Fake, fake, skate, fake, fake, fake.
And everyone's ready to say, okay, well, the season's done. And we're not even, we're like nowhere near halfway through. So I feel like, you know, you may have just told them, don't even look at social media. Don't even read the newspapers. We're here to do it. And all you care about are the guys, you know, on the ice with you at that moment. And that's that.
Okay. And I get that. So I just, yeah, I know, like I said, I know you have coaching experience, so I wanted to get your perspective on what it is that, you know, you kind of have to deal with as far as, you know, getting the people you're in charge of to do what they're supposed to do. Because, yeah, like I said, my problem with 2 weeks ago was the not just that they were losing, but how they were losing. They were listless, they were just awful. And
yes.
I, you know, awful as far as not, you know, not only result, but in effort. And yeah, it just, I don't know. It
and
just,
you felt like he kind of gave up. But here's the thing, though. Don't you think that if, as a coach, and even if he's not social media and watching the interviews and reading the post or whatever else, that he is out there in practice, and I've seen him at Kettler and whatever else, and he's involved in everything, that he's not equally as frustrated?
Of course.
You know, so to like, so here's a coach who's like, listen, I am training you guys, I am supporting you guys, I'm doing everything I can, and you're not giving me in return. So I'm annoyed too, and good. You know, because if he came out all jovial and whatever, and they got their ass handed to him the last couple of games, I'd be like, okay, what's going on with Barry? Like,
he'd look like a bit of an idiot, at least.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I always feel like, you know, hey, cut him some slack. He's not going to come out and be pissed at his players, but, you know.
When I saw that, you know, the turnaround and that, you know, what had happened, and it clicked like, okay, I get it now. He knew what was wrong all along. He wasn't going to overplay his hand with the media, and he was maybe it was all an act that he was giving up, but if it was an act, he certainly had us all fooled, and that's why I sent that tweet to you. Well, looks like we all got played, and you were like, "Yeah, we all got played."
Yeah, you don't
coach in the NHL for 20 years, and not know things, not know how to handle things as they come up.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. He knew he was going to get asked this question, and he probably was asked it at least, you know, maybe 20 times that day alone, that it was like, listen, okay, I get it. But what killed me was the people who were tweeting the I told you so's. See, I said they should be back on the first line, and now they're winning. Really? Well, we also lost some players, and, you know, Barakowski's out, and, you know, we had to kind of move things around. So as a coach, you are giving other players an opportunity to prove themselves. Smith-Pelly worked with one and not so much the next time, and then it was good, and then it was bad. Same thing with Wilson. That is what the coach is doing, what is best for the team. It has nothing to do with what the fans think. You know, and it would be like if I was swimming and the boy I was coaching, you know, kept doing terrible and his times weren't getting better. For the parents to say, you know what, you as a coach suck and I want you out of here. It's not on me all the time. If I'm providing the, you know, insight and giving the workout and, you know, doing everything right, you got to put a little bit on the swimmer to say, listen, I'm not sure what's going on, what's in your head, but you need to get out of it and get your stuff together. You're not going to qualify for blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. I just, you know, I had a good laugh and over holiday, just looking at the people who seem to know it all. And I told you so's. We're really, Barry knew what he was doing all along. So that's that.
Yeah, so I said, and I keep pointing it out.
They got played, I know.
Well, no, I keep pointing out my appearance on Sports on the Hill, and I said then, look, because the guys were talking about, they mentioned it earlier just before I came on, that there had been, you know, some shouts from social media or wherever, hey, it might be time for Trotz to go. And I'm pretty sure it was CP3 who said, that's premature. We're only 15 games in here. We knew
Thank you.
This team was going to be different. And
exactly.
And I echoed that. I said, hey, look, some of the tools out of the box were taken and never to return again. Okay. And we lost something, what was it, like 65 goals that were scored. But somebody in the True Fans group, True Caps Fans group, I think it was Steven Levesque, brother of Christian, he's an admin there also, pointed this out. Vrana himself, by himself, now has as many goals as Marcus Johansson, Carl Alsner, Justin Williams, and Nate Schmidt this year combined. Vrana by himself has as many goals
right.
as those guys. So, I mean, that if that's – you want to hang your hat on something, you want to be positive about something, it's that. So you talked about Dmitry Orlov, I think it was 2 weeks ago. His game's starting to come back. He's starting to bounce
yeah.
back.
Yep.
Now we're seeing it from Vrana. And I – you know, I –
Well, I'm not
call
even
me
say
call he, me ignorant if you want. Call me stupid if you want. But I'm not gonna kill my optimism for this team. Yeah, they look like dog crap 2 weeks ago. I totally agree. I saw the replays. I saw the goals. But
right.
every team, even good teams, go through rough patches. This year
exactly.
This year's gonna be a lot more of it. I think. Look, when it comes down to it, I think Caps fans are pretty spoiled. I mean, look, I don't want to be down on my own group, my own people, but we Caps fans are pretty spoiled because we've had two straight years, 2-3 years now of 100-point seasons plus or more, or close
right.
to it at least. And I think that's what this fan base is used to. And look, it's not going to be that way. This year, there's going to be some games where they just look like what Rover left on the sidewalk. And
right.
That's,
but I
that's
don't
to be
know.
Expected.
I don't agree. I don't agree. I don't see the Caps fans as spoiled. I would never have
use that word to describe them. I think they are frustrated. And I think that they are, I'm trying to think of,
I don't want to interrupt your thought here, but I mean, I think spoiled is the perfect word, because you're going to get this upset and call for the coach's head after two losses.
Right. But I don't think that has anything to do with being spoiled. I think that's frustration. That's from watching two amazing seasons and not making it to the Stanley Cup back to back when we should have. And then we all have to sit back and be like, you effing Penguins, and go through that again. That's not spoiled. This is just this to me. I feel like the Caps fans are frustrated and they're just looking for a solution.
Okay.
I would think spoiled would be the like the Pens fans who are kind of sitting back like, hey, we've got this. We've got, back to back cup wins or, this and that, and look at us and we're amazing. And so we lose a little bit. We're going to come back because that's who we are.
Well,
sounds more spoiled.
Well, so it's funny.
Entitled.
It's funny you should mention that team and others. So we're going to segue out here and give a little bit of info here, that being the Metropolitan Division standings as of right now.
Right.
Okay. So
I know what you're going to say.
Well, what am I going to say?
I know that you're going to tell me what the record is, and that the Penguins aren't doing as great as everyone thought that they would be doing. That's not my point.
Okay. All right, fine. But before I get into the standings, tell me, what is your point then?
Feisty tonight.
That's the idea.
I know, but what I'm saying.
I love this. We're both dropping the gloves.
Yeah, we are. Because now you're putting me in. Yeah, we are. I don't think the fans are spoiled. They're frustrated. There's a difference. They want to see their team win, and they want to see their team get to the cup. Being spoiled or being entitled are people or fans of Penguins and whatnot who have won the cup numerous times and feel like, hey, you know what? We've done it before, and we may have an off year, but it's all good.
Okay, so it's worth about the cost of grandma's ashtray, but winning the president's trophy is something. It's something to be
spoiled about. It is, but
it's
not the Stanley Cup.
I get that, but as far as the regular season goes, I think a lot of our fan base is spoiled. They expect to win every single game 6-1. They expect to see Alex Ovechkin get a hat trick every other game at least, which he's doing now, and not even that's making a lot of them happy. They still want to see the coach fired. They still want to see changes. They're still screaming about all the players we lost. Only now it's getting louder with each loss, and I get the frustration. I just don't get this feeling like, well, why aren't they winning like they were? Because the damn roster has changed. Because
right, that is different. No, I agree with you on that. The roster has changed, and we need to kind of cut the losses with the. If I hear one more thing about Nate Schmidt, I think I'm gonna pull my hair out. Okay, it's like, listen, and again, and I've said it before. Was he a good player? Yes. Was he an absolute, darling off ice with we've talked about the infectious smile and the laugh and an all around good guy? Yes, that's what people miss. Not him on the ice.
Quick impression of Nate Schmidt, by the way. SpongeBob. You know why we always win at home? Because in Vegas, the house always wins.
Oh.
No, that was true. He was actually asked that, and that was his answer. It was like 2-3 weeks ago at a press conference.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But that's just it.
Mrs. Blue Liner shaking her head at me, by the way.
Right. I am too. I had an eye roll there. So, God. Anyways, so now we are going to agree to disagree. And the President's Trophy, is it something that should be acknowledged and admired? Of course. I'm not taking that away. We want to go a step further.
I'm not taking it away either. I'm just saying.
But it could be a reason. It's acknowledged.
It's a reason why a lot. I'm not saying everybody. Okay, but I'm okay. So this is what I'm getting at when I say a lot of the fan base is spoiled. The RMNB blog, okay, they look. Brooks Orpik is, I get it, is not everybody's favorite player. He's certainly not mine, but he's not the pariah. He's not the single biggest cause of why the team plays horribly sometimes. He does work his batootie off every game. You look at how many block shots, the number of block shots man per man, and he's at the top. Or if he's not at the top, he's damn close. So you cannot question his effort. Yeah, is he two steps slower than he was, say, 6 years ago? Of course. He wasn't fast to begin with. I get that. But nobody, I think, works harder on this team. And yet, I mean, the first thing that goes wrong, they want to point to him as if he's the single most cause. He's the one cause of all the Caps woes. It's not. It's you lose as a team, you win as a team. And it's the fact that they don't show, for whatever reason, they don't show any effort. And nobody, the people that do the complaining, don't want to see that. Or if they do see it, oh, it's got to be a coaching issue. Because right. These players making millions of dollars don't want to do their job. They don't want to earn their money. That's why I think they're spoiled.
If I had a ton of money and was, you know, a gambling person, I mean, I do enjoy gambling, but like high stake. I will tell you right now, had we gone into the season without Alex Ovechkin, say the game that we're at right now, maybe he has two goals. Everyone would be throwing him under the bus. Too old. We should have traded him. He's this. He's done. He's lot, whatever. The fans are always going to pick the one person that they can just put blame on, whether it's, you know, but now Ovechkin's doing amazing and everyone's like, oh, the great eight. Right. Well,
although there's fans, there's hockey fans, non-Caps fans that still think Ovechkin is the number one problem with this team. And so on and so on. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Those guys are a bunch of douchebags anyway. So
well, that kind of goes without saying.
Right.
We won't name said douchebags, but.
But they know who they are.
They know who they are. But yeah, okay, fine. Agree to disagree. You know, drop the gloves. On our way to our respective penalty boxes here. I get, yeah, you say frustrated, I say slightly spoiled and frustrated, so.
Oh, you didn't, no, you never said slightly.
Okay, completely spoiled and frustrated.
There you go. Okay, I'll take that.
Fine.
As I skate to my synth in.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
And don't swing your stick at the penalty timekeeper either while you do that. okay, so what I was, before that little dust up, what I was going to do was read off the Metro Division standings as of today, before tonight's action. So at the top sit the New Jersey Devils with 23 games played, a record of 14-5-4, 32 points. Then right behind them are the Columbus Blue Jackets, same amount of games played, one more win, but one less point. So 15-7-1 for them. Right behind them, sitting in the last available guaranteed playoff spot, are the New York Islanders at 23 games played also, 14-7-2, 30 points. In the next available spot, which is the wild card spot, and if, let's see, I'm going to give a quick peek at the Atlantic. Okay, which they easily have by several points over the next best team in that division, sit our Washington Capitals, 25 games played. So everybody's got one or two games in hand on them. 14-10-1 for 29 points. So 1 point behind the guaranteed third spot. This is what I was talking about, ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of the year. It's called parity. It's called every stinking point matters. So you can't let down even for one game, because that's a pot. Even if you get to overtime, even if you get the loser point, that's a point you put in the bank that come April, you're probably going to need. And that's what I'm talking about. So to continue, right behind them, New York Rangers, 24 games played, 13-9-2, 28 points, 1 point behind the Capitals. And 1 point behind them are, guess who? That team from that city.
Right.
With the logo that of a bird that can't friggin' fly. 25 games played, 12-10-3, 27 points. So 1 point behind the Rangers. And then right behind them, well, not right behind, but they might as well be, because they've got 2-3 games in hand on everybody, are the Carolina Hurricanes. And they're at 10-8-4, 24 points. So had they played one or two more games like everybody else has, they probably would be, well, they'd be within striking distance, if not tied with that other team I just mentioned. And bottom of the heap are the Philadelphia Flyers, 23 games played. The only Metro team below 500, 8-9-6. I think they've lost like six straight. Last I heard, they're in something of a tailspin lately. They're just awful. I don't know what it is with that team, but 8-9-6, 22 points for the year. And speaking of that team, minus 17 goal differential. What the hell?
I know.
That's not. Yeah, that you won everything last year. What happened? Not that I care. But I just hope it's a trend that continues.
I agree too, but it's so early. I just can't get into that mindset.
We're at the quarter pole. I get it, but still, that's bad.
And I love it. I mean,
oh, I love
finally,
it too. It's also a head scratcher, though.
But it is. But I'm like, but you know what? You know, it's too early to say anything and rule anybody out, which is why keep with your coach. You know, keep doing what you're supposed to do. You know, because I'm still kind of wondering what is going to happen to the Caps when Burakovsky comes back.
Good question. Good point. Very good point.
Because that's one of those things as a coach that you would have to say, here's, you know, my number 65, like, doing well. And then I think they had really high hopes for him this season. And you and I agreed in the beginning that he was doing okay. And then he got injured. And it's like, okay, well, you're always going to have, you know, changing things up. We've got, you know, some rookie players, some trade, whatever it is. And now you're getting this team together. Consistency, chemistry, whatnot. And then you're going to bring him back in at some point. And that's where these guys have to understand that, you know, he could come back and he's been training and everything else. And if they're not stepping up their game, well, hey, you know, thanks for holding my spot in line. Now you can go back to the bench kind of thing. So I'm just wondering what's going to happen when he's feeling 100%.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. And he's supposed to be due back in, what is it, 1 or 2 weeks, I think?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see indeed, because supposedly you get a little more punch back in the offense. So, yeah, and we definitely need more of that. And he's probably going to need at least 4 or 5 games to get back in actual game shape, to be of any effect. So, probably.
But it'll just be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I like, you know, we put in certain players are just, they're clicking and it's good and you want to see that happen. But could he add something else
to, I don't know. Like, I don't, like, I was just thinking about it today because I follow him on Instagram and I know he's, you know, shows pictures, you know, videos and things here and there. And I'm like, man, really want to see him come back and kick ass and, you know, do something amazing for the team. But,
well, who... okay. So from those pictures, does he look like he's kind of, you know, champing at the bit to come back, or does he look like he's enjoying his time off? I mean, that,
yes and no,
that tells you everything right there. If he really,
well,
I mean...
there's a bunch of players I follow and I see lots of them, golfing, you know, and, spending time, you know, with their families and whatever else. So it's sort of hard to tell. He's put up a couple of things where he's been, you can see he's still training, not on ice, but, you know, in a gym or something. And then there's other times where, you know, maybe he's on a golf course or he's doing something else and enjoying life as he should. So I don't think he's going to just assume he's coming back and going to be, you know, the top guy, but I just like to see what happens when he comes back.
Okay. But at the same time, I want to see somebody with, fire down below and, you know, want to get back in as quickly as they can, you know, because if he's desperate to prove himself, he needs to show it.
Right. But if you're injured and they're telling you, hey, listen, you can't be on the ice for a long time.
I get that. But
he deserves to have a little fun.
It is a hand injury we're talking about.
Right. But think of all the things that you need your hand for.
I know.
No. We'll talk about
all of what you need your hand for. But yeah.
But yeah, well, you know, yeah, we won't just not go there. I could, but I won't.
I wasn't going there. I'm just saying, you were. I'm not gonna talk about all of that.
Mm-hmm. But you were thinking it.
Maybe.
Anyways,
thoughts don't translate on podcasts. Thank God.
True.
Anyway.
Thank God. But no, I think he's gonna do fine. I don't think he's taking this as a vacation. I think when you're hockey's in your blood and it's what you know and what you've done your whole life. When you're not doing it, it sucks. So he's out, you know, doing other things. If he was sitting at home being a bum and, you know, losing muscle mass and whatnot, I'd be like,
okay,
so kinda sucks.
I get it. You're saying at least he's not wallowing and saying, woe is me. And, you know,
exactly.
Okay. Okay. I get it. I get that.
The hand injury.
It'll be interesting. So I'll give him 4 or 5 games, and then, you know, I want to see somebody who wants to prove himself completely.
I'll give you that.
I think
he will.
Okay, so previews of coming attractions there. Okay, so speaking of which, before we move on to our next topic,
topics.
Just a couple. You doing okay on time?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear my husband in the kitchen, so Lord knows what that means, but it's all good.
All right. So let's take a quick peek at the schedule. Okay. So as it happens,
the Kings.
So we're in the midst of a 4-day lull, and the next game will not be until Thursday. As Anna
Correct.
Just said, against the Los Angeles Kings, 7:00 puck drop at Capital One. And that kicks off a 5-game homestand that goes all the way through next week. Next game after that is against the CBJ. Did you CBJ? No, officer, I didn't see a thing. At 7:00 again at Capital One Arena. And then next game after that is against the San Jose Sharks, come to town, team I followed for many a year.
Me too.
Monday evening, another 7:00 puck drop.
That's
going to be a fun game to watch. That's going to be another good measuring stick against.
They're just
a
classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got cool play. They got Joe Ward.
I gotta love Joe.
Yeah,
Joel Ward.
Joel Ward comes back to town. Be good to see him again.
But they've got Joe Thornton and whatever else. So, anyways, I think that'll be a fun game to watch.
That's gonna be a good game to watch. Yeah, I think so. Got Martin Jones in goal, one of the best in the league. So that's gonna be good to watch. Okay, so after that, day off, and then another game Wednesday at home, 8 o'clock puck drop. I think this is an NBC game, actually. And this one's going to be against the Chicago Blackhawks. My good friend from work, whose name also happens to be Ian, by the way. It's his favorite team.
I like him already.
Yeah, that's his favorite team. And we actually went to a game last year, earlier this year, back in January, and they smoked them good. It was 6-0. I think they were having an off night, so kind of hoping for a repeat of that. 8 o'clock puck drop again at Capital One for that one, and then Friday.
Are you guys going?
No. I wish. But yeah, too busy and not enough in the old checking account, not yet anyway. But we're hoping. And last of the homestand is Friday night against the New York Rangers, first against them this year. 7 o'clock puck drop there, and so that rounds out the next few games for the upcoming week and a half or so. And then we head towards kind of a mixed bag of opponents, but we'll get into that in later shows. And then we get to the Christmas break and then other things. But not to get too ahead of ourselves, but that's the schedule ahead. A lot of good games to watch. And so going to be very interesting in the next, somewhere around there, we expect Burakovsky to make his return, as we just discussed. So that'll be, that'll be very interesting to watch. Okay, so going to move on to our next topic here. And so we're going to, I won't lie, it's something of a bummer. So fans of the team that have been following the Caps for more than, say, 20 years will remember this player. But we're going to talk about, and it's kind of a bit of old news now, because it actually came up like 3-4 days after 2 episodes ago. But the guy we're talking about is ex-Caps player Steven Peat. And it came up that he was having all kinds of problems. So a little background on him, if you've never heard of him. He was in the 90s for one or two seasons, to be exact, the late 90s. He was actually the enforcer of the team. And back then, the enforcer's role was a little bit more prominent than it is today. This guy took it upon himself to take on all comers, literally. And he was out there. He was taking on guys that outweighed him by as much as 30, 40 pounds in some respects, in some times. And he was giving up that many pounds and several inches per fight. But he went after them. He did his job. And that was his thing. He wasn't a goal scorer. He wasn't a playmaker. That was his whole thing, to rile up the team and be a pest and be somebody that was tough to play against. And now we come to find out that he's had a lot of mental issues, and that it's attributed, some would attribute it to the fact that he's obviously had a lot of head trauma. And due to his life as an enforcer, not only in the NHL, but in the AHL as well. And it's a hard life when you have that role. So the article came out in the New York Times that said he's having a hard time because, his father basically came out. His father's been pretty much his I'm struggling for the word here. I don't want to say caregiver because
it, advocate.
Advocate. Watchman. I don't know, mm-hmm. but you know, Stephen Pete. It's not like he's an invalid or anything like that. He's functional, but basically the point of the story was things really came to a head about a year ago when he burned his father's house down as a result of an argument. So I hear. I don't know if that's the fact. Now, what actually happened was he was eventually charged with arson and pled guilty, even though he claimed the fire was an accident. And he said the reason he did that was to avoid the embarrassment of a long, drawn-out trial. So he figured he'd plead guilty and pay the fine, serve the time, whatever it was. I'll admit I don't have all of the facts on this, but you know, that was just one example. And his father Walter, the New York Times published a bunch of tweets and emails that he sent out. Basically said, look, I can't take care of my son anymore. It's a danger. I'm putting myself in danger just by being with this person. I love my son, but I, you know, because he's just that's so mentally unbalanced, I just can't help take care of him anymore. I can't do it, is what it came down to. So I wanted to bring this up, not to bring everybody down, but to make everybody aware. I mean, this guy is a part of Cap's history, for better or for worse. So I just wanted to put that out there just to say, hey, look, you know, Power Play Point Podcast isn't going to shut out the bad, even though we're all about the good psychology. You know, we're not going to shut out the bad. We're not going to turn a blind eye to this, you know, type of situation either. And it also raises the bigger question, well, down the road, does hockey, big league hockey, eventually get rid of fighting? And there will be a day of reckoning when it comes to that. May not be now, may not even be 2-3 years from now, but it's coming as to whether or not, you know, the final answer to that question. And it may not be one that some fans like. So that's another reason I wanted to put the story out there, because that may be something we as fans have to deal with as well. And while I love fighting, I'll say this. If that's the only reason why you watch the games, we don't need you. Go watch boxing. Go watch UFC.
Right.
Go watch something else. Right. If that you want to see a fight, you want to see just two men slugging it out, just watch that.
Right.
But
I don't know if this, I want to say this is the same article, because I did see a good portion of it, read a good portion of it. Wasn't it also very frustrating to people who were related to him, because they would look at him and say, like, this isn't my son or my brother or whatever, because he was so angry. And it was like his whole personality changed. Is this the same?
So the experts, there are experts on concussion and head trauma that say,
right.
that took a look at all this and said, look, he exhibits signs of having CTE. And that's basically when your head has experienced so much trauma that your brain becomes abnormal because it swells.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, it's been proven, the brains of several players who have, had that the same type of role. They've been examined, and it's been proven that they had the same condition when they were examined. So, you know, it's really, really sad. I mean, we as fans, we enjoy the fights, but, you know,
not at that expense, though.
Right, but you got to realize it does come at a cost eventually.
Absolutely.
It's really, really tough on these guys. But when that's what you're expected, that's what you do, then you do it to stay in the game, to stay relevant, and that's why. So, you know, not to bring everybody down, but I wanted to bring that up, and not just because, you know, everybody else has mentioned it. You can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes, everybody else in Caps fandom, other podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. But this guy, you know, Stephen Pete is a part of Caps history. And that's one of the reasons why I made this podcast, was to honor that and honor all of the guys that have worn the colors, worn the uniform, and played. And for better or for worse, he's one of those guys. And so I just wanted to bring out this story and say, look, he's having a rough time of it, and it's just sad. And in the end, I really, really hope that eventually he comes to understand that he might have a problem and gets the care eventually that he needs. Whether the league has something to do with it or not, that's an argument for another day, but
right.
So that's why I'm bringing that up. So we'll close with our last topic, and that is, I mentioned the Toronto game, which was an absolute delight to see, but not so much, well, in part for what happened on the ice, of course, but for what happened off the ice, of course, and that's everybody knows by now, the story of cancer survivor Alex Louis, and how he inspired the captain. And everybody's seen the video. They got together before the game, and young Alex was invited to read the starting lineup in the Caps locker room at the Air Canada Center before the game, and the players are all cheering him on while he's doing it, and you see him in the stands cheering for every goal Ovechkin scored, and it was just an absolute delight to see. And just to review, Alex Louis is a cancer survivor. I didn't get his age, unfortunately. It looks to be about 12 or 13. Plays midget or mite hockey. He survived cancer, but lost part of his leg, had it amputated. But thank goodness for the advances in science and medical technology. He has a prosthetic that allows him to continue to play.
Good for him.
With his team. So he still plays, and apparently Alex Ovechkin read his story, and the fact that, you know, Ovechkin's also young Alex Louis' favorite player didn't hurt either. And he invited him to, basically said, all right, well, next time I'm in Toronto, this is what we'll do. We'll make a day of it. And that was just wonderful, wonderful to see. And I bring this up because we are still in Hockey Fights Cancer Month. And so, again, I cannot urge you enough to go to the NHL shop and or go on Twitter and follow the hashtag CapsFightCancer. That's all one word, CapsFightCancer. And donate whatever you can, buy whatever you can as far as merchandise to support that. So that's why I bring that up. Anna and I both have had people in our lives touched by cancer, and I'll say it again: it doesn't matter if it's breast cancer, prostate cancer, bone cancer, leukemia. Brian, I think it was Brian Boyle, who just came back to the Devils after going a round of chemotherapy. So, you know, it doesn't really matter, even if you're in 100%, you know, top of the league shape, even. Cancer does not discriminate. It's going to hit people you know. So it is definitely a cause worth fighting for. And as long as we keep up the fight, we can't lose.
And so I agree.
That's why I bring up that. I know that's a bit of a sore spot for you, Anna. So, I have to bring out the message.
No. I'm fine. I support it 100%, and I always will. And I will say, I think what I love so much about the Ovechkin story is that even if, you know, even if the media wasn't there, I feel like he is such an awesome guy. He would have done everything for that little boy regardless. So it was, I feel like it was 100%. It was genuine. It was heartfelt. And it was awesome. But I'm glad the media was there because I loved seeing it. I mean, that boy's face just lit up, and the hat trick, and, you know, he's hugging his dad in the stands. It was a great story. And so, yeah, I think our players today were at, were at Georgetown visiting some cancer patients. And it just, you know, if you're going to make someone smile and those guys can do it, I just admire that so much more. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. So, that they were there.
And yeah. I think there was like six or seven of them that went.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely, well, our media, the DC media, they were definitely behind him and praising him. And I would like to think a good chunk
of
Toronto media was too, except for maybe a couple, three, what did you call
D-bags.
Them? Douchebags. Before. I might have to bleep that out. I don't know.
Douche canoes.
But a couple of notorious fellows in the Toronto hockey media, so-called journalists, like to make light of the not even light of the situation. Just put it all in a bad light, really. But we won't give them a sounding board.
No.
We all know.
And that's
truth.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't need to have any media spotlight around him to do this. He would have done it regardless.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I admire Ovechkin. And you know, we don't need to have it all out there. And so that's what makes – and again, I mean, and there are people who I also saw on social media that said, and this is why I love this team. Exactly. This is why I love them. Win, loss, you know – whatever it is, you take the good with the bad. We stand by them and always will. So, and I think it was just an amazing story and a very heartfelt story to watch and to read about. So I applaud Ovechkin for that and Alex Lilly.
And it was indeed absolutely great to see. And just like you said, this is one of the many reasons to love this team, not just because they're the home team, but because they give us all something to believe in, something positive to look for. And that's
right.
That's what we all want. We all want some example to live by. And that's, I don't think there was a better example than this. Go ahead.
I know you're going to close out, but we've said this a couple of times and we've prior to the show, and we've never brought it up about the calendar.
Is it the calendar I'm thinking of?
What calendar are you thinking of?
The doggy calendar?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Forum's yours.
I'm seeing all. I saw the pictures before and the players and how all proceeds for the calendar, with the players and adopted dogs, goes to help the shelter, and it's a no-kill shelter in the area. And you know, we've seen Tom Wilson has done the foster parent thing with a couple of dogs, which has been super sweet. And you know, then they find good homes. And now I'm drawing a blank on the website, and I feel like such a jerk that I brought this up, and I can't.
Well, I think I can help
look
you
it up.
Out here.
It's not Homeward Bound.
It's the 2018 Caps Canine Calendar.
Yes.
Is what it is. And there actually is a link on NHL.com.
Homeward Bound is a movie, like, wasn't it?
Well, no, it's Homeward Trails Animal Rescue.
Okay, I was close.
Let me see here. Okay, so it's a limited edition calendar for 2018 that costs $20 each. All the proceeds benefit the Homeward Trails Animal Rescue Center.
Yes.
And also the MSE Foundation. So far... this has been a thing since 2014, And so far, they have raised over $250,000 for those two groups since, with these calendars, since 2014. So going on 3-4 years now, they've done this, and they've raised that much money, and that's so great. So you can get one at the team store. If you're at a game, you can get it at the team store there as well. There's also a team store at Kettler.
Yes.
Where you can,
which I'm hoping to get, because last year I went, and the year before I went, and they were sold out.
Well,
so they do go quickly.
Yeah, they're limited, so get one fast.
Yeah, and the pitchers are awesome. I mean, they're just, besides, I mean, you know, the players are dressed up, which is sweet, but it is very awesome to see, you know, just to see what they do outside of, you know, the hockey games and stuff. And I big animal supporter on this end, so I just wanted to throw that out there, although I wasn't prepared.
No, it's fine. We're getting the message out there. That's why this is a team effort.
Yes.
So,
although we dropped the gloves, but now we're friends. We're good. It's all good.
All in the name of entertainment.
There you go.
And on that uplifting note, I think we'll end the show. We've gone on for, quite a long time. Mrs. Blue Liner's nodding her head at me vigorously. I'm thinking I have some chores to take care of. So, we're going to sign off for now. We previewed next week, and it's been an interesting week, to say the least. One thing you can't say about this team, not boring at all. So hopefully we'll get some more W's, keep the streak going, and at least get a great effort out of this team. So with that in mind, I'm going to close the show with one final Let's Go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. All episodes available at blueliner77.podbean.com, Apple Podcasts, and the Podbean app. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
His media responses are just like, blah.